Morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Privileged to gather in God's house with God's people around God's word to be encouraged and inspired to press on in our Christian walk of life. We are truly a blessed people, a people who calls the true God their God and serves him with all their heart is a blessed people. Many promises that we lay hold on in the scriptures that are given to God's people. For our meditation this morning, I'd like to think about promises to believers. Promises to believers. Now, what is the definition of a believer? Yeah, I believe the term, definition believer, can be used in a very common and broad way. You move out into society and meet people, and you hear people referring to themselves as believers. And we leave that relationship between them and God. We are not called to be judges of people's journey with God. We believe the Bible teaches that a true believer is one who has prostrated himself before Jesus Christ and acknowledged his or her sin, found forgiveness, become born again, and is living in full obedience to God's word. That is the true definition of a believer. And that is the definition or the context that we want to think about the promises to believers this morning. So as you as an individual this morning are here, do you claim to be a believer in that dimension? Have you come to know Jesus? Have you experienced forgiveness for your sins? Have you resigned yourself, submitted yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and obedience to his word? If you have, there are many things taught us in the scriptures that will be your experience, that God promises to respond to that move of faith, that move of commitment to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Just have 12 that we'll look at this morning, so we'll move right through them. Promises to believer. Number one, everlasting life. The promise of everlasting life to those who are true believers in Jesus Christ. We have that in the very familiar account in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The promise we see there, that he that believeth hath eternal life. Hath eternal life, hath everlasting life, in verse 16. It's hard for us to comprehend the full dimension, if you will, of life beyond this life. And right now, the life we are living is this mortal life, life in the flesh, and we need to live it to God's honor and glory. But there's an inspiration for the child of God to know that this life, this eternal life, this everlasting life that we are living now will go on forever and ever and ever. And we need to live life with that awareness. It will guide us in life's decisions and choices and our obedience to the scriptures. So that is the first promise we'll want to leave with you this morning. That if you are a true believer in God and the Lord Jesus Christ in the dimension and definition that we looked at this morning, you now have eternal, everlasting life. As we face the valley, the shadow of death, we don't need to fear evil. We know that it will be the beginning of eternal life. Point number two, we are forgiven. A believer is forgiven. going to turn to a lot of scriptures this morning to find confirmation of these promises. You're welcome to turn along with them if you care to. Hopefully that would help to rivet it on your mind, give you something to think about this coming week, and also help you to stay awake and alert. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This morning, I don't know how to fully explain or help us to understand or appreciate forgiveness with God. We who have turned our hearts against God, as mankind in general, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We all need forgiveness with God. And to the true child of God, he experiences that. Freedom. Freedom from sin and the guilt of sin. Forgiveness with God. Just backing up a little bit in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 4. Part of 43. Acts 10 verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, the cancellation of sin. The guilt and penalty of sin is gone for the believer. And he then needs to live in purity and holiness of life to maintain that forgiveness. But forgiveness has been made available. Pardon. Pardon is made available and experienced. That is a promise to the believer this morning. Have you experienced that forgiveness? It's available to whosoever will. That wants that forgiveness can come to God. Praise God, he has made that available. Point number three, another promise to believer is we can be justified, or we are justified. The very simple definition of justification, you've heard it again and again, is to be just as though we had never sinned. Just as though we had never sinned. Again, hard for us to comprehend. But with God, this is possible. Because of the provision that he made on Calvary, we can come before him, sins forgiven, in purity and holiness. And we can approach God just as though we had never sinned. We can approach God just like Adam and Eve could before they fell into sin. We can have that relationship with the Lord Jesus and with God. Believers in Christ Jesus are just as though they had never sinned. Praise his name. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. It's not by the deeds of the law that we find this justification. It is alone through our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 13 and verse 39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. That was Acts 13 verse 39. The law of Moses could not justify a person, but the blood of Jesus Christ does and can and will, and I trust has in your experience. If you're here this morning as a child of God, a believer in Jesus Christ, you're justified. You're here this morning just as though you had never sinned, and you walk in holiness of life. Number four, promise to believer, is you are a new creation. New creatures in Christ, you are a new creation in him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 13. I must have put a wrong verse down there. That one's not lining up. Go back to my original. 5:17. Verse 17. Just a couple verses off there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That sounds like me. Does that sound like you? Can you identify with that this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ? You are living a different life than you used to live. You are not hankering after the things that you used to hanker after. Your attraction is to God and the Lord Jesus Christ and to a life of obedience with Him. That's how the believer walks. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God is a believer in Jesus Christ. It's one of the definitions or requirements to be a believer. And once we experience that change of heart, a change of focus, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Again, only made possible by the work of Jesus Christ. And so we have that promise here in this verse, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, that we can be new creatures in Christ Jesus. And it's such a pleasure to fellowship with and to mingle with and to have life's exchanges with a group of people that are new creatures in Christ. A new focus. A unity of focus. Point number 5. A sanctified person. We are a sanctified person. Sanctified means to set aside. A separated people, set aside to honor and live for and worship God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, verse 31, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Sanctified, set aside, purified, set aside to serve our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has made it possible that we can be believers in Jesus Christ and experience these promises and these dimensions of relationship with God and with one another, with God's people. Oh, that our ponderings this morning would help in developing a new appreciation for this privilege to be among the group of believers and experience this life together in Christ Jesus, alone by his provision. Promise number 6, sealed by the Holy Spirit. We can be sealed by the Holy Spirit. We'll go to Ephesians for that. Enjoyed the devotional this morning. Ephesians is such an inspirational book, practical book. But here, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After you believed, after you became a believer, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus taught his disciples that it was expedient or necessary or important for him to go away, that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, could come and dwell in your heart. And you could have that seal of the Holy Spirit in your life. Every true child, believer of God, believer of Jesus Christ, has that seal of the Holy Spirit upon his life. just a couple chapters later, chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The seal of the Holy Spirit. Do you have the stamped seal of the Holy Spirit upon your life this morning? Have you experienced it throughout this past week? Do you sense God's presence? Do you feel God's presence? Do you welcome God's presence? Are you rejoicing in that seal of the Holy Spirit in your walk of life, in your engagement of life? We rejoice in that promise and the dimension that it brings to our lives. God present with us. The next point is very closely related. Point number 7, made the temple of the Holy Spirit. The true child of God, the believer in Christ Jesus, becomes a temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. The temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body, your spirit, your entire self is God's if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You have turned it all over to Him. And you are a diligent follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have that awareness in your mind, that awareness, that awareness in your heart, that you are God's presence is in you. And therefore, you are a revelation of God by your character, by the things that you say, the life that you live, the actions of your life give evidence of the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit that we just looked at, and the presence of God. You are the temple, the dwelling place of God. You feel worthy of that? We don't. We don't feel worthy of God's presence. But we claim it and rejoice in it and want to live true to how that will be manifest and received by those we come in contact with. Promise number 8 to the believers, delivered from condemnation. The believer has been delivered from condemnation. Very closely related to point number 2, forgiven. But delivered from condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How is your walk this morning? Do you have a clean walk? Is your walk an indication that you are walking after the Spirit? Or is your walk given some indication that the flesh still has some say-so in your life? That's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for each one of us. To live a life separated unto God, rejoicing in the deliverance that He has brought us, His indwelling presence, that we can then be delivered from condemnation. Not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Back there in John 5:24, I believe that's the words of Jesus, if I remember. Yes. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Have you been passed from death unto life? As a believer of Jesus Christ, you have been. And we don't need to fear that we will come into condemnation before God. Freedom from condemnation. You well remember with me the condemnation of sin. How it It separated us from God. But the promise to the believers is there is deliverance from condemnation. Praise his name. Number 9, promise to believer, he is given peace. He is given peace. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. When last did you hear someone talk about peace with God? Our devotional this morning. Brothers and sisters this morning, peace with God. Believers in Jesus Christ this morning, we are at peace with our Maker. And if we are at peace with our Maker, we can be at peace with life. Peace with life. As God allows it to unfold, and we diligently follow after him. Are you experiencing that peace? Number 10, made an heir of God. We'll go to Galatians for this one. The believer in Christ has been made an heir with Jesus Christ, been made an heir of God. Galatians 3:29. And if ye be Christ, Galatians 3:29, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs with Jesus Christ, heirs according to the promise. Over in the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Praise his name this morning. We can be heirs with God, heirs of all the resources of God to experience fullness of life, enjoyment of the Christian walk, and spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and relationship with the body of believers. Are we appreciating and enjoying enough the results and the blessings of the life of the believer? Point number 11, blessed with all spiritual blessings. Blessed with all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I shouldn't stop in the middle of a sentence. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you feel that there's any stage of your life, experience in your life, that it feels like you're in heavenly places? I hope we do. I hope we feel this morning like we're in a heavenly place. As we gather in the sanctuary to meet God and worship him and reflect on the blessings of being his children and all these things that we are looking at this morning, wherever we go as a child of God, and God is in our hearts and we know he is there, he's an abiding presence, is a heavenly place. To be where God is a heavenly place. To experience the Holy Spirit in our life, which is God, is a heavenly place. And we live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So keep Jesus in your heart. Keep Jesus in your life. Actively reflect on his presence Maintain a constant awareness of his presence in your life and to heavenly place in Christ Jesus. And finally, number 12, delivered from this present evil world. Galatians 1, verse 4. The believer has been and will finally be completely delivered from this present evil world. Galatians 1 and verse 4. Again, I don't like to break in the middle of a verse. I'll begin with verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ has delivered us presently. If you are in Christ, if you are a true follower, believer of Jesus Christ this morning, you have a power and you are experiencing a deliverance from the forces of this evil world. The forces of this evil world cannot overcome you this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus was concerned about the evil pressures that would press upon his followers. And he prayed for us in John chapter 17 when he said, I pray not that thou wouldst take them out of the world, but that thou wouldst keep them from the evil. And the evil is prevalent all around us. We must make, as the children of God and believers in Jesus Christ, we cannot be ashamed of, we must unashamedly identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two kingdoms in this world that we need to choose which we will follow. Delivered us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And so this morning, these promises that we looked at in the scriptures, all these glorious experiences, all these promises that we can claim for our own as believers in Jesus Christ, as we went through them one at a time, could you say in your heart, not boastfully, obviously, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. It's only by the mercy and grace of God that provision has been made that we can be believers in Jesus Christ. But as we looked at him this morning, was there a testimony in your heart, a thought in your heart, that that's my experience? That's what I'm enjoying in Christ Jesus. I found that, and it's a blessed experience. And I told it to my neighbor this past week. I'm so full of it, of being a believer in Jesus Christ, that I can't keep it to myself. Is that how I live? Not like I should. I confess. Not like I should. Let's verbalize the fact that we are a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's live as though we are a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's be an example of the believer. The Apostle Paul challenges us with that. Be thou an example of the believer in all of life. The way we approach life, the way we relate to the evil world around us, and by being a people sanctified, separated, called out, one of his disciples. God bless you as you follow him, as you continue on as a true believer of Jesus Christ. Be an example for him, and God bless you in that walk. Shall we kneel for prayer?